come join me May 1st through the 6th so that you can rest, rediscover your strengths, reconnect with yourself and those physicians like you who are ready to leave work at work, and re-energize. This is the invitation for you to make 2023 your year. Join me in Costa Rica in this really amazing, non-judgmental, intimate physician community. I am gonna show you how to rest and how to recharge. Let's transform your brain, level it up so that you can start to dream the life that you always wanted this year in 2023. I can't wait to learn all about what kind of year you're gonna have after this conference. Take care.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Beyond ADHD, a physician's perspective. I am Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine physician practicing in rural Texas. I used to be hindered by my ADHD, but I now see it as a gift that helps me show up as the person I was always meant to be, both in my work and in my personal life. In the past 2 years, I've come to realize that unlearning some of my beliefs and some of my habits were just as important as learning the new set of skills. Well, hello, hello. I am so excited to have a dear friend of mine here and an amazing, amazing person, Dr. Kara Parcells. And we've been knowing each other for some years now. I'm going to say 2 or 3 years. I don't know how long, but it feels like
a pandemic sometime.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime. And it's been amazing because she is here in Texas, and she is doing the work of encouraging young adults and teenagers and all the works to have better life. And it's an amazing, yes, it is an amazing journey that she's been on. And not only that, but she's a really solid advocate for ADHD using as a superpower.
Thank you.
And she speaks at all the platforms. And not just like, you know, here and there, but like at the national level. She has been an amazing speaker at the ADD conference, and she's been there years and years and years. So anyways, I just want to bring her today for her to share her story and for her to share a little bit about herself, and so that we all can see that we can do wonderful things like she does.
Oh, thank you, Diana. Well, like Diana said, my full-blown, full doctory name is Dr. Carolyn Lynch Parcells. I'm a board-certified pediatrician practicing adolescent medicine in Fort Worth, Texas. And as Diana said, I take care of basically kids and teenagers and young adults, many of whom have ADHD, learning disabilities, or other challenges. And of course, myself am also a ADHD human and mom and business owner. And all the things. So yeah, and I'm happy to be here. I got to meet Diana through our ADHD-ness, and it's been really fun getting to know her.
Awesome. So I know that your story is a little bit different from some of our stories in the sense that some of us females tend to be diagnosed a little bit later in age. Yeah. And I remember you telling, well, I kind of knew a little bit earlier. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. I consider myself very, very lucky, especially for a woman, and especially for a woman of our generation, because like you said, so many of us slipped through the cracks until really recently. And essentially what happened for me was I had a family member who was a younger male, and he was getting diagnosed because he had more kind of classic symptoms. And my parents kind of looked at that and went, hold on a second, that looks familiar. And they had already advocated for me throughout my life. My dad would read my summer reading to me because I also have a learning disability in reading, which we didn't know, but he still did that. You know, they got me tutoring, and they really supported me all the way through. And then this occurred when I was a junior in high school. So I had a full assessment done and was diagnosed with ADHD combined type and a learning disability in reading and written expression as a junior at a very rigorous private all-girls school. So that was interesting. But it explained a lot for me and for my folks. And what was interesting too, though, at the time is, you know, being 17 and therefore knowing everything, I refused a lot of the help that was offered to me. I refused medication. My parents were actually very supportive of medication. One of my mom's favorite phrases has always been, you know, that this is like diabetes. It's another condition. And if you were diabetic, would you not take your insulin? I don't think so. So that's, again, something that's pretty unique from what I came from, right? But I still refused medication at the time. For the same reasons, I had a lot of the same kind of concerns, misconceptions, what have you, that a lot of folks have. I was worried about the side effects. I'd seen some family members have some negative side effects, and that concerned me. I was worried about using my diagnosis or medication as a quote unquote crutch. I had all those same kind of concerns that a lot of people have. I'm very glad in hindsight, accept accommodations. And that was critical. That was absolutely critical. And then of course, over the years, just understanding more about ADHD and about my brain was in and of itself really, really helpful.
Would you mind sharing what kind of accommodations, and was it like during college, or was it already in medical school that you decided to dive into that?
Sure. No. So it started in high school when I was diagnosed. And actually, one of the things that made me realize, oh, I guess this really is a thing, and I guess I really am different, was I had actually taken the SATs and the SAT2 subject tests before my diagnosis, and then I retook them with accommodations after my diagnosis. And on a 16-point scale, I went up over 200 points. And went, I can do what? What was that? And I didn't think that I was stupid. I didn't think that I was lazy. You know, it wasn't any of that. I thought I had a very realistic view of what my capability was. And it turned out that my capability was actually quite above what I thought it was. That testing, of course, you know, for better or for worse, that testing is critical, right? So that was one of the first times where I really went, oh, wow, okay, this is a thing. And then I had accommodations. It was primarily testing accommodations, but also some note-taking and things like that. And I had those accommodations all the way through college on the MCAT, all the way through medical school. Medical school for my medical school exams, but unfortunately, and this has actually changed a little bit since then because some of us fought. But at the time, especially the USMLE, the United States Medical Licensing Exam, is governed by the ADA laws. Whereas the exams I had taken previously were governed by IDEA laws. So the educational laws versus the professional laws. And I fought, and was not able to get accommodations for the USMLE in time to take it. Clearly I passed because I am a licensed physician. But what was really, really interesting about that one actually was when I came to there was also the first test that I ever took that was on a computer. Because I'm old. So, yes, children, there were tests originally on paper and Scantron sheet, which as soon as I say Scantron gives anybody 35 or older PTSD. But anyway, what was really fascinating though is because it was on the computer, there was actually a lot of accommodations built in because I only saw one question at a time. The script was very large. I didn't have to transfer from an answer booklet to a Scantron. I just clicked a dot. I had headphones on. I had, you know, I was in one of those cubicles, right? With the, I call them human blinders, right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things that actually turned out to be very accommodating for me. And so I did okay. I did fine. It was scary and it wasn't easy, but I did it. So that was interesting. But those were the accommodations that I primarily had.
Yeah. So it's so good to become curious with how you learn and to make sure that, like you said, you don't miss maybe a learning disability on top of that, or dyslexia, right, or a number thing, or something else, right? Like input or output understanding, because it can be ADHD and that can be its spectrum in itself, but it can also be and something else. And so when you're aware of that, then you can, like you said, you can advocate to have correct accommodations for that. And some people, when they think accommodations, all they think about is like, oh, maybe they just get a little bit extra time. And while that might be helpful,
a little bit extra time can make a world of a difference for some of us. But what if there could be something else that could be done as you're learning how you learn or how you test or how you give information back to people?
Right. Right. No, yeah. That's exactly right. And I think for me anyway, and obviously everybody's different, but for me, the accommodations were really key for me to be able to show what I could really do. And I think one of the things that people get kind of hung up with on accommodations is, you know, well, but what about real life, right? What will that mean for somebody in real life? Well, these are all things. I'm not taking a multiple choice test in real life. Oh. I don't take care of my patients. My patients don't walk in and hand me a multiple choice, you know, question answer for me to go, oh, it's this diagnosis.
Right? And you don't have 1 minute to figure it out, right?
No, exactly. Exactly. I don't. And in fact, the fact that I take my time, the fact that I listen, the fact that I notice details that other people may not notice, all of which can be part and parcel with my ADHD, right? Are all the reasons why I'm good at what I do. So the key to accommodations is not overly accommodating people or enabling, you know, folks to not build skills. It's to take away unnecessary barriers, right? It's not to, the analogy I like to use sometimes is if you've got a fence and someone's too short to hop over the fence. Accommodations are not to catapult you over the fence. Accommodations are a step stool. So then you can grab the top and pull yourself up and get you up over it.
Right.
Right. It's that kind of thing. And there's the other thing too, is there's accommodations these days. Like when I was a kid, I'm glad we didn't have cell phones. There's also times I wish we had, because now the accommodations we had to fight for audiobooks, for dictation software, for those of us who have writing difficulties, all these things are now in our hands 24/7. I use dictation software to do my charts because I still, you know, writing is still not the easiest thing for me. You know, these are all things that we do get to have moving into real life. So there's no reason to not allow our students to learn what resources they have and what assistive technologies are out there that they can use, that they'll be able to use their whole life.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, like you said that about that, like in my mind, I used to have the thought, oh, I'm not a great writer because it takes me forever. But when I got coached on, like they asked me, so which, you know, did you get a F? And I was like, well, no. They're like, in English? I was like, no. They're like, in Spanish? I'm like, no. They're like, then where did you get this thought? You're not a good writer, right? And so many times, like, because we have a certain thought, it gets us stuck.
Right.
But maybe that's not the right thought, but maybe you do realize that that takes you a little bit longer than other things. Maybe speaking is easier. So like you said, you can click on your phone. There's a tab where it lets you record a voice to text message, and you could do that, or you could click on the tab and it literally just records your voice message and you send that. Right. So it takes you 2 or 3 minutes to write that whole thing, where it would have taken you like 20 minutes to like think about what the hell you're trying to type. And are you saying it right? Are you thinking it? And so then we never even send it because we were thinking about it too long, and then we got distracted somewhere, right?
Right, right. And I see that happen with, you know, a lot of my kiddos who have dysgraphia, right? Or have dyslexia. I still use books on tape. Books on tape. Wow, I just aged myself again.
Audibles.
Books on tape. Oh my gracious. I still use audiobooks. Thank you very much. And in fact, actually one of the coolest, I got to give a shout out to my residency friends, because when I was in residency, they decided to start a book club, and they were readers, several of them. And of course it was like every other book club, right? There was a book, but we didn't really discuss the book. It was just an excuse to get together, drink wine, and vent, right? But there was a book chosen, and every book they chose, they made sure was available on Audible so that I could listen to it if I wanted to.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's so important, right? Because that just doesn't talk about like, hey, let's get together, but that talks about inclusion, yes. Right? It talks about equality and having that possibility to actually accomplish whatever you say you're doing.
And this is where, so that's, and exactly, that's kind of where I wanted to, so when we talk about, because there's so much conversation now, not just in the ADHD and LD world, but the all over, right, on inclusion and accommodations and what does that mean and what should it mean? And that instance right there, I think is kind of the, at least for me, illustrates the ideal. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't made a big deal. It's not like there was some big fanfare. Hey, look at us. We're doing this for you. And it also wasn't something that was a huge effort for them. It wasn't, it didn't take anything away from them. It was just, and again, nobody made a big deal out of it. It wasn't, it was a non-issue.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they even realized until I told them what that meant to me. Again, it just was. And that little thing to them was a huge thing to me, right? And that's, you know, we get kind of caught up in, you know, the extremes of these things. And really, it can be just the small day-to-day things, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. It doesn't have to be a big fanfare, right?
Yeah.
My dad reading my summer reading books to me. He didn't make a big deal of that one way or the other.
You know, and he used it as a way to bond with you. He used it as a way to spend time with you. So instead of, you know, sometimes we all have 10,000 things as parents that we're doing, and then he could have chosen to think, oh my God, one more thing I have to do. Or he could have chosen to think, well, this is something we do together, right?
Right. Well, and actually kind of the funny thing about that one is apparently I might have gotten diagnosed even younger. Because of what teachers had said, except my parents, my dad in particular, because he had similar challenges, was like, what? That's just, I don't see
it's just life.
It's like, isn't this just what our family does? Like, you know, I mean, our joke is that if you open up the DSM-5 criteria under ADHD, you're pretty much just going to see my family tree, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how we roll, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't make it mean a thing.
Yeah. You know.
So tell me, what are some of the things that you're up to nowadays? And I know we were kind of talking about social media right before we started recording.
Oh my goodness.
But you're welcome to share anything that you're up to.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, I think, dude, it's hard these days, right? Because the good news is we have all these opportunities. The bad news is we have all these opportunities. Oh my Lord. And I don't know how much of it is I was born with a horrible case of FOMO, and or is it the ADHD or what? I don't know. But I feel like I'm constantly, I know you and I have talked about this, constantly trying to find the balance, whatever the heck that means, between all the things I want to do and all the things I need to do, right? Yeah. And all the things other people need and want me to do. And you know what I mean? And I do think some of that is the ADHD, because we are constantly chasing the dopamine, man.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, I overcommit and say yes to too many things, not because I'm a people pleaser, not because I feel like I have to say yes. It's because I want to say yes to everything because it all sounds cool.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's an issue, whether you have ADHD or not, whether you're a mom, not a man, mom, a woman, a man, whatever, whoever. I mean, I think we're all kind of facing that these days. And again, it's like, it's cool because we've got opportunities to do other things, but then trying to not compare ourselves and trying to wade through what the options are. So like, you know, Diana and I were talking before I popped on, I was asking her about how she started her podcast, because I'm like, should I do a podcast? Should I just be a guest on podcasts? What do I want to do with that? And right now I'm not doing that, but I am, I do have a practice, Girls to Women and Young Men's Health and Wellness, Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, which, like I said, we take care of, young adults and teenagers, and kiddos in general. We do primary care, but we also do some mental and behavioral health, obviously things like ADHD. So I'm running that practice, and, we are building and growing, which is exciting, but stressful at times. And then I finally bit the bullet, at the behest of many and several of our friends and colleagues in the ADHD community, and started, doing the social media thing. I refer to myself as a reluctant social media poster. So you can follow me if you want. God, I still feel weird doing that though, and saying that, like, the self-promotion thing just does not come naturally. But anyway, Instagram, I'm the.adhd.md. Same on TikTok, Carolyn Lynch Parcells on Facebook. I think technically I'm the_ADHD_MD on Twitter, but I don't tweet a whole lot. I tell you what, I am such a visual person. I cannot stand the visual format of Twitter. It confuses me and drives me crazy because I am an old person. I just don't get it. Yeah. I'm mostly active on Instagram, but I am sort of on the others too.
Yeah. So we were just talking about, like, the overthinking and the good enough thinking whenever we're doing some of the social media.
Yes.
What is that about?
Yeah. So it's been actually kind of an interesting little growth experience for me because I love speaking. I love teaching. I was a theater major. I was a pre-med theater major, also known as a sparkly unicorn. And so I kind of thought it might be a nice little outlet for me to use some of my creative juices, but also to get some good information out there and some good education out there and hopefully, you know, brighten some people's days. And what's interesting though, is the whole short form thing. So first of all, I'm a theater kid. So for those of you who aren't theater kids, it is very different from film because theater, you go out there, you cannot see yourself. It is you and the audience. You get to feed off your audience and get that immediate feedback. And oh, by the way, the show must go on. So it is once and you are done, right? I mean, you might have another show, but that one is done. It's in the can. You can't change anything, right? And this video thing, man, you can see yourself. You can do it multiple times. You can, not good for a perfectionist with ADHD. not good at all. And the whole, like, 90 seconds or less, I can't have a conversation. I can't. Anybody who knows me knows that that's, like, impossible. But I've had to figure it out. So, like, the first few videos I did, I almost completely gave up because it took me, like, what, 24 something, whatever bazillion takes. And I still wasn't totally happy with it. And I don't know how to edit. So that was a whole thing. And then as I've gotten doing it more and more and more, I've gotten so much more comfortable with the fact that, like, and I think it's really cool that what people want is not this highly curated, highly edited thing, even from a professional like myself. Cause I do think sometimes as physicians, we feel like we kind of almost have to mask a little bit more. And so it's cool that I've kind of figured out, okay, what's the information that people really need and take out all the extra junk, right? Or what's the point I really want to make? And let's just get to that. And then being a lot less perfectionistic about it, which is actually really cool. And just like, you know what? Yeah, that's good enough. We're posting it. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah.
So that part's been really cool. The not cool part about the whole social media thing is, like, my whole life, Diana and I were talking about this, like, when you're a physician, your entire life has been largely prescribed, and yes, pun intended, right? So, you know, it's 4 years of college, maybe three, maybe five, but it is college done. If you do that and you do it well enough and you get these scores, then you get to this next level. Then you go to medical school. It is 4 years. And as long as you don't screw up and you do well enough and you pass your exams, then you're a doctor. And then you do residency and then this and then that. So the whole thing is very prescribed and the outcome is known as long as you do X, Y, and Z for the most part. Obviously there's some variation.
Right.
And this social media thing is like, you never know what videos are going to hit. You don't know what's not going to hit. You don't know when it does. You don't necessarily know why. When it doesn't, you don't necessarily. And the other thing that I think is a little hard for me, again, when I'm doing something in front of a live audience, first of all, I often get immediate feedback by people talking to me or giving me either positive or negative feedback, usually positive. But even if they don't come up to me, I can see their faces, right? So I have some idea as to the impact that I may or may not have made. If people leave comments, sure, right? And likes maybe, but I don't really know, right? I don't get to really know how or if stuff is impacting people, which,
right.
You know, I kind of tell myself if it helps one person, and it didn't take, you know, and it was just a little bit of my time, then why not, right? Then it's worth it. But it is time and it is effort. And you want to make sure when your time is limited and your effort is limited, you know, you want to know that what you're doing and what you're putting out there is having the positive impact that you want it to have. Cause that's really the only reason for me to be doing it.
Right. You know? Yeah, I know what you mean, because when I'm supposed to give lectures or do something, I'd rather do it to a live audience, like you said, because then I can see if, how it's landing, or I can see how I'm pivoting. And while I might not have everything, of course, on the slides, because then that's like word vomit, like it's all in my brain and I'm like feeding off of what I'm seeing in the audience or where they need to go based on the audience. And so, yeah, when I'm supposed to just hit record to like a blank thing and just use my slides, I try it, but oh my god, I feel like I'm not in my zone, because again, I'm like you just said, I'm not getting that feedback. So it's so talking to you like this is amazing, because like I can understand what we're doing. We're just having a conversation. It's not scripted or anything, so it totally goes where it goes, you know.
That's why I love, honestly, like that's why one of my favorite, absolute favorite things to do other than live talks is podcasts, right? Because it really is just like, I love to talk, and I love to talk with my friends, and I love to have that like connection. And so whenever I do them in this format, which is part of why I've thought about doing my own, but I love, like you said, I love the format. I love that it's just a conversation. And even if I don't get to see the reaction of the audience, I get to at least interact with one other human.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, there's at least that, like maybe nobody else likes it or listens to it, but we're going to have a good time doing it, you know, and at least that was worth, you know, the hour or whatever that we put into doing the recording. Of course, you're doing all kinds of work on the back end.
My brother-in-law.
I'm sorry, your brother-in-law. Bless him. See, that's what I would need. If I did something like this, I'd need another human.
Yeah.
I would need a human who knows techie things, because I do not know techie things.
Yeah. And like sometimes, you know, it is like you just said, realizing that in life, there's certain things, obviously we've been taught and drilled, right? If you're talking medicine, we need to make sure we have some type of precision. But at the same time, it is called the practice of medicine. You need to have some wiggle room to be creative, wiggle room to explore, wiggle room to not just stay within the box that they're wanting us to stay in. But at the same time, like you said, there's certain guidelines where you know that if you went way south, okay, everybody in reasonably would know you're really way south. But with a social media, with an entrepreneurship, with anything that like you don't have the prescription, like you said, and so you can easily go down some rabbit hole and be like, what happened? And again, but at the same time, it lets you be creative enough and be willing, I want to say the word fail faster, because again, you didn't know, but then that also makes you grow faster, because now you have new data to change and modify and whatnot. But
I still want a rule book.
Yeah. But yes, we should have some guidelines though. I think that's why it's so good to surround yourself with network of somebody who's a little bit ahead of you and maybe a little bit behind you, so that we all can like help each other keep going.
That's exactly right. Well, I mean, to that point, like, I mean, so some of the folks listening may have seen, and if you haven't, you really need to go take a look at Jessica McCabe's How to ADHD YouTube videos. She's one of the first of us, if you will, to really push out excellent content on ADHD. And I got to meet her through the conferences and we're now friends. And she was one of the ones that kind of really encouraged me to do this. She's also one of the ones that helped me, that really kind of taught me, because I did a video with her for her YouTube channel on medications. What was that? October 2020, I think. And this is the first time I'd ever recorded something on video. And I had to do it, you know, on my own in my office. Next time I was like, I got to have somebody else helping me with this, because I just would get lost in the weeds. And I sent that poor woman, I think, and her team, like what, 34 clips, I think, that they miraculously managed to condense into like 5 minutes of excellent material that sounds like it was one take. I don't know how the hell they do it. They're good. But I told her afterwards, I was like, look, I already respected big time what you do, but holy crap. Like, I had no idea just how much time and effort and energy and editing and da 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 da. Now, it helps if you have somebody who isn't completely paranoid and takes 34 takes and sends you every single clip because they don't know what's good and what's not. It helps me get over that a little bit.
But hey, that was the first time you did it, right? And like you said, you wanted to make sure. And I think that's where, like, it's exciting, but it can also be paralyzing, because what you're trying to give out into the world is bigger than yourself. Like, it's bigger than your ego. It's like, you want to make an impact, because this is education that can really be like a trailblazer for people who otherwise might not have considered the possibility of medicine. And you and I know that, like, medicine is one of the tools. When it works, amazing. When it doesn't, then it can be a little bit harder, but it doesn't mean impossible. And it should be medicine and plus everything else.
Well, and I feel like, you know, you and I both, I mean, we have unique perspectives, right? Because we have ADHD, but we're also physicians ourselves. So even though, like, our stories are unique from each other's, we also have this unique perspective of kind of seeing both sides of it. And for me, I also, again, I feel very lucky that I had the situation that I had. Not to say that it wasn't without its challenges. It absolutely was. I still had to, you know, deal with teachers and professors and other people who don't understand or didn't understand the accommodations and all of that. But I had so much support and so much, I mean, we're talking, I don't even want to say how long ago it was, because I mean, this was a long time ago, right? That I had all, like 20 plus years ago. Okay. I mean, I even, the learning specialist at my college, who I had to meet with because I was getting accommodations, I will never forget this. It goes back to something you said earlier. She said, I had to meet with her and she said, Carrie, you know, tell me how you study and how you do your work. And I said, well, I do it all wrong. And she goes, okay, well, tell me anyway. And I told her, for example, I said, you know, well, I highlight everything except for and, the, and, but. And she goes, okay, why is that wrong? And I go, well, because I was told it was wrong, because you're only supposed to highlight like the main points. And she goes, Carrie, you graduated from Hockaday. You are at Davidson College. Tell me again how that is wrong. And I was like, oh. And she goes, let me tell you what you're doing and why it's right for you. And she went on to explain to me how I was using the highlighter to track and to process and all of this. And she's like, when you do it that way, do you remember everything? I'm like, well, yeah, kinda, sorta. Uh-huh. And she's like, okay, then if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that was and this was over 20 years ago. Okay. So that was just such a game changer for me and in my own thought process. And I was so, so lucky to have that support growing up, especially back then, that I feel like, you know, our family has always kind of our leading ethos, if you will, what we've always been taught and what's always kind of led us is to whom much is given, much is expected. So for me, I feel like that's taking the experience I've had, but also combining that with the knowledge that I have, being able to put that into the world in a way that hopefully makes a difference, right? And hopefully pays forward some of what I was given and some of what I had the privilege to have.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's also so important to realize, like you said, that you had opportunities, but you were brave enough to take those opportunities. Like some people, and yes, you said as a teenager, maybe not all of them, but it is human. It is human nature, right? But at the same time, like,
that's okay. We all want to go have a conversation with our 17-year-old self.
Exactly.
What we should have, could have, would have done, you know.
But the point is that you were okay. You were comfortable enough in being curious to, like, let me figure this out. Let me ask somebody else advice, but also let me see what resonates for me, so that at the end of the day, you're not just okay, this is it, but also curious enough to be like, well, what if there could be more or not? But at least you go into that sphere. And like you were telling me, like, you know, you've been able to talk to your uncle who's like amazing at that's his jam, right? Like in social media stuff, and have friends who open up doors for you or explain different things. Most of us feel like, well, they're going to know, like, I suck in this area. I don't want to show them that I suck at this area, right? But it's in, again, it's not like it's, we all expect to start walking all of a sudden when we were just born. Like, no, like you have to learn different things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it was such a blessing to have you when you were in my group, and then to turn around to come and give us the talk, to be the guest coach about medicine. Like that was just, again, like you don't realize how we all have our own gifts and our own way to enhance the group or the environment or the community that we're in.
I mean, to that point, you know, I'll be honest, when I did, you know, your coaching group, I wasn't totally sure what all I would get out of it, right? Because I know so much about ADHD already, right? And because I've done coaching in the past for myself, and, you know, I've done kind of all the things. But I'd never done the group coaching thing, and I'd also never done coaching with other physicians, right? I knew other physicians, but there wasn't a ton of us. I mean, there are a ton of us, but there weren't a ton of us that knew each other, right? And that was one of the things that I think was really cool. Like, yeah, I had the opportunity even as a member of the group to kind of answer questions or to kind of, you know, share my knowledge. But there were definitely, you know, several times where other members of the group would just say something or something about something they experienced or some epiphany they had that made me go, oh, fabulous. Like brain, like, you know, like just brain blown. And I think that was really cool. And just the camaraderie too, you know, of just, and just being able to be like, hey, we're not alone here. Like we're all having similar struggles. We have some different stuff too, but we have some really similar stuff.
Yeah.
And we're not the only ones.
And it's so, again, and that's what I mean by it's so important to have a community that kind of just gets you, and they might not get everything, but when you have that safe space where you can just come and be, it's so different than from feeling like, oh, I can't say that out loud because my coworker is gonna think that blah 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 because like they have no problem here and therefore blah blah blah, right? So
that connection, right? We talk about connection a lot and resilience. We talk about connection, and that's that connection that you get from having truly shared experiences. You know, that is, there's a lot of negatives to all the online stuff and all the social media stuff and all of that for sure. But that's one of the real positives is being able to actually form connections and community, and that stuff's critical.
And I think like COVID made it such where, again, I didn't even know how to use Zoom like or anything, right? Yeah, really, prior to this, like, but COVID made it such that you could wonder, hey, I can have a conversation with anybody anywhere in the world. Okay, that's cool.
Right.
And it made it a norm to be able to have that instant connection, because I know when I then finally met you in person, oh my God, it was like a world of difference.
That was so funny because it was like at that conference. So for those of you who don't know, we're referring to the International Conference on ADHD, which happens every November. By the way, please keep your eyes open and your emails open. It is
fabulous. Baltimore. It's coming
Baltimore. Up. Here we come. Crab cakes. But it's 3 days of communing and having just the most fun time, as well as very informational and educational, with 1,500 of your bestie ADHD humans. But anywho, needless to say, for 2020 and 2021, we were virtual, which was still great. I'm glad we had it, but it just wasn't the same. And I met all these people like Diana and some of our other physician friends and other folks. And then when we finally all came back together for the conference this last November in 22, it was the funniest thing because there were people who I was like, oh my God, it's so glad to see you again. And they're like, we've never actually met. And then there were other people who I'd actually met right before the pandemic who I was like, I'm so glad to finally see you in person. They're like, Carrie, we've met before. And I'm like, all right. Because, you know, our sense of time was just so messed up. But it was so much fun. Yeah. It was so much fun. And the party was awesome, if I do say so myself.
Oh, yes. We partied. Oh, my God. We partied till like midnight or like something crazy. And there's videos out there.
There are videos. They are posted online because, yes, we are still responsible adults. There was nothing crazy. It was just a lot of fun. Feather boas and Elton John glasses. But there was each night I went to bed later and later. I think the first night it was like 1 a.m. Second night, I was like, I'm getting too old to stay up this late. I was in so much pain by then, but it was just, we were having so much fun finally being together and getting to see each other and talk about some deep stuff, but also just have fun and talk and chill and
And again, that's what I mean about community and come into the place where everybody just gets you. I mean, it was so funny to hear people be giving a presentation and then midway they stop and they're like, what was I saying? And everybody's laughing. And then they're like, no, I'm serious. I got lost. What was I?
It's amazing. I love it because one of the things I've always said about that conference and part of why I've stayed so involved is because the first year I went in 2018, it was honestly the first time that I felt like I could be 100% completely and totally authentically myself, both as a professional and as Carrie the ADHD human, right? Because so many times at these professional conference, I feel like I have to mask and compensate to be taken seriously. Because if I'm on full volume, I will not be taken seriously and people will look at me like I'm being annoyed. And so, at this one, like the very first time I went, people were like coming up to me. I wasn't presenting, right? I was just there and would raise my hand or, make comments or answer questions. And people would come up to me and go like, oh my God, I love your energy. I'm like, I'm sorry, you said what? And they're like, and they looked at me like I was some sparkly unicorn because I was a physician with ADHD. And I was like, y'all do know there's a lot of us, right? Like a lot of us. Like probably half the doctors out there, but I'm just saying, but it was so cool. And it was not being myself didn't take away from who I was as a professional. It gave me more credibility.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. It was incredible. Yes. And so, it's continued that way. And working with those folks again, it's great because it's like deadlines are a funny thing when you're working with a whole bunch of ADHD people. People are very forgiving, which is nice, but also you also have to like hold to them really tight or nothing ever gets done.
So. Exactly.
That.
You should see me planning my Costa Rica retreat, when the deadline was April 1st, right? Like April 1st was the deadline and I'm like still getting like, I just booked my flight yesterday and my mom's coming too. And I'm like, give me the details. I'm trying to organize getting you to and fro. Right.
Yeah.
But again, to your point, I think we need to remember that our energy is important and that we need to protect it, but we also need to realize what enhances it so that we refuel and recharge ourselves. Yeah. And like you said, we don't give it all away with the things that, can distract us. And if they were not really what would be important 5 years from now, then maybe that you could gauge it that way. But okay, I'm going to wrap this up because I know our time is valuable. And I know you and I can talk for hours because we've done that before. Gosh, yes. Yes, but in the interest of time, you kind of already told us where people can find you, but just tell us one more time. And then I'm going to ask you one more question and we'll wrap it up.
Our website is www.gtw-health.com. My clinic is in Fort Worth, but we also have two other clinics in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The social medias are Instagram at the.adhd.md, which is the same at TikTok. Carolyn Lynch, LENTZSCH, Parcells at for Facebook, and then Twitter, but whatever.
Awesome. If people just started tuning in because, we have wandering attention, what is the one takeaway point that you would want them to walk away with?
I get asked that, of course, whenever we do these, and my always go-to takeaway is this, which is do not let whether you are an adult with ADHD or a parent of someone with ADHD, or you love someone with ADHD, don't let what other people say prevent you from advocating for and fighting for what you or the person you love needs. Everyone will always have an opinion. There will always be opinions, and there will be always be opinions that disagree with whatever you choose to do. It is not shameful. It is not failure to ask for help and to fight for what you and the people you love need.
Preach! Awesome. Okay, the last question. I know I said it was only one. What do you hope to do for fun in the next 3 to 5 years? I know you already have a lot of fun, but tell me, what are you dreaming about?
In the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah.
Travel. Lots of travel.
Where to?
Lots and lots of travel. Well, internationally. Already checked off Italy. Want to go back to Italy. London. I do love me some tropics. I got a whole list of like bucket list countries. Like, I'm one of those people that wants to make it to just about every, you know, continent or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not a cold weather person. So some of those, a lot of travel.
Awesome.
I'm open to suggestion.
Yeah. You know, we were just looking into like maybe doing a cruise, because that would be amazing. Like a 10 or 12 day cruise, yeah. Like Mediterranean, because then you just have to literally get yourself on the ship and then you get on and get off and you have hotel taken care of. Exactly. Yes. So, and then it's actually a lot more affordable than you think. You do all your connections and all that stuff. So like, yeah, I think cruises are amazing for our ADHD brain.
Dude. And we need an ADHD physician's cruise. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Yes, we got to plan something.
Go team. Woo-hoo! Stay tuned, guys.
Stay tuned. This is coming up. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending your time here with me today and with everybody who's listening, because like I always say, time is our most valuable asset, because unfortunately we don't know how much or how long we have of it. So let's try to do our best to be present in the moment, because we know that we like to dwell on whatever already happened, and we like to plan so far ahead that we forget like right here, right now.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't do that ever.
So yes, thank you again for coming. It's been a delight to have you.
Appreciate it, Diana.
Thank you for spending your time with me. I really believe that time is your most valuable asset. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your colleagues, and don't forget to check out my website at ADHD-lifecoach.com, where you can find out about my upcoming coaching group classes, as well as free master classes and other exciting events that are happening.